Welcome back, interweb friends, to another episode of Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes terrible movies. We make fun of them. I would like to welcome you if you found this show through one of our other episodes, maybe Jaws 4 or Superman 4. Glad you came back. Excited to have you back for another episode. And this week, joining me on the show, I'm Alex Dunbar. Joining me on the show this week, Andy Wolf.
Yep. Special guest, Andy Wolf.
Special guest, who we've been missing him. Cody Wolf.
Hello.
Jack Estabrook.
Hello.
Jack a little stuffy this week. And Brian Mueller, who is off in the wilds somewhere doing something weird this week. Was not able to make it. Our movie this week, the 2011 Nicolas Cage, a return of Nicolas Cage.
A return, triumphant return.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage coming back on the show.
We actually kick around a lot of titles by Nicolas Cage, don't we? This is the second one, right?
This is actually, I think this is only our second Nicolas Cage movie, but we talk about Nicolas Cage.
Right, there's a lot of acting. It does.
Yeah, it felt like we've done more than this.
There's a lot more can be done, too.
Yeah, this is, yeah, we're just really opening the door into that. Season of the Witch. Which is a wildly inaccurate title right off the top. This is not Season of the Witch, a.k.a. Halloween 3, a.k.a. the first Halloween 3, the not Rob Zombie Halloween. This is a totally different movie, which... And what we're going to do, I'm going to do a twist to let people think of this. I'm going to give the so wrong it's right question. As people know the show,
you're throwing me for a loop here.
Yeah, every week we do a kind of a question, sort of a competition. I'm going to throw the so wrong it's right question out at the beginning, let people think about it. We're going to come back to it at the end. The question for Season of the Witch is going to be, whenever you go to if you hear Hollywood pitch meetings, it's always a new movie being pitched is always two other movies combined. You know, they're oh, what's this movie? Oh, I don't know. It's kind of Species meets the Apple Dumpling Gang or, something so
I'd actually like to see that.
I would like to see that. That would be a pretty good movie.
I'm sold.
Yeah. Greenlighted. So think that what would be your, if you could take two or three movies to combine them together to say, if you were pitching Season of the Witch to a studio and you'd be oh man, it's kind of Silver Spoons meets the Goonies or, something like that. So think that over as we get into the show.
So is there an official one that they use for the
pitch? There is not an official one. I'm just going to judge the ones that we come up with and see which one is the best.
I see.
Let's hop right into this movie. Season of the Witch, Nicolas Cage. This movie's opening, as cheap as it looked, I found mildly interesting. And then was thrilled to know it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
Well, it does. Well, it does. When you look back at it, it does.
It does.
Well, kind of.
We'll talk about it at the end. Jack and I talked about it last night.
It's loosely
If you're paying attention, it does. But
yeah, if you're paying attention to this movie, you're in trouble anyway. Yeah. So
right, it does. And I'll talk about it when we get to the point where I think it.
By the way, I can tell you the exact moment I stopped enjoying this movie too. We'll get to that in a few minutes.
Okay. I can tell you too.
Okay.
Let's you said, this first scene was kind of entertaining and it was kind of creepy.
It's actually sort of creepy. It's basically, we are in Crusades time and the church is
I think it said the time of the Crusades.
I think it did
That was the next one. This one is 100 years earlier.
Oh, 1200. Okay.
This is 1235 or something.
So they're hanging a bunch of suspected witches.
There's three women that they hang for being witches, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's well sequenced, sort of put together. I mean, it looks super cheap. Sci-fi channel movie cheap, but it's put together well. They hang them, they drown them.
And then the guy comes back in the middle of the night to finish the ceremony by he drags the bodies out of the water.
He's got a book.
And he's going to read out of the holy book.
This book comes back. I can't remember what it's called. It's the Book of Solomon or something.
Yeah. It's called the Book of Solomon, yeah.
And it has this incantation or something in it that will officially kill a witch or whatever. And so they didn't read it when they killed the women, so he's coming back at night on his own to...
And he brings them up out of the water.
They wouldn't let him. The priest is let me read the Book of Solomon to finish the job. And they're like, you're superstitious. We hung them and we drowned them. That's dead enough for me.
Right. Yeah.
And then he comes back at night. And he drags the bodies out of the water. He's reading the chant over the body and they're twitching and they're spitting
and
up.
And by the way, we were talking about earlier, this scene at night looks terrible to me, at least. It's just a blue filter to make it look like night.
It's like
a day for night, just blue, avid filter.
I really didn't realize. I mean, to me, it kind of something that just glaze over it.
Well, it is. I
it
just
looked to me like they were tinting, like they tinted it in post for like a movie.
Because if you see this on a cheap movie like you're used to seeing, it's okay. But this is obviously a multi-million-dollar movie.
I don't think it was all the CGI. This is
like a $40 million movie.
Much?
Yeah,
this is with all the CGI and stuff. It did
yeah.
Look,
I mean, think about that. Yeah, think about that. This is like I mean,
had Christopher Lee and Nicolas Cage and some bad
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, I was going to say Ron Perlman. I actually don't think Christopher Lee is that hard to get these days.
Well, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. It's just Star Wars, too.
But it looks, you know, so to kind of jump ahead, so the priest is doing this reading thing. One of the witches sort of, like, comes back to life and kills him. It's not a terrible scene. It's kind of fine. It's nothing. And so then, I don't know, this is just kind of tacked on. Then the actual movie begins. Like, this could have just been a trailer for some other movie, but then the real movie begins.
We're in the desert, it's the Crusades.
Then this is where it says the time of the Crusades on the...
It's
like 100 years later, the time of the Crusades.
And here we get the thing, the number one gripe of the film.
Well, this is where, and this is the second that I stopped enjoying this movie at all.
This movie, yep, I think Cody's got it. Go ahead.
Was when the Crusade, you know... It's got the crusade,
the soldiers, the
main knight or whatever is like, we gotta, you know, he's talking about how we gotta defend God or whatever, and then all this great CGI and not great CGI, big CGI,
big CGI,
soldiers come and fight each other, and then you see Nicolas Cage, Ron Perlman, and they start talking, and this is where I hate this movie because they just start talking. They start talking in just straight American accents.
Well, but
time I saved your ass back at the last battle. Yeah. All right, let's see if I can't kill more than you.
Yeah, they're like, whoever.
American accents.
If I kill more, you're buying me drinks or whatever. It's
Ron
like in total American accents.
Straight up like New York City accent.
Yeah.
Like not even American. Nicolas Cage
is doing some scenes
it sounds like he's doing one, and then others it's just straight up.
Others
Nicolas
it
Cage.
Sounds bad. Other like at times it sounds
it's just
like
he's trying to sound too serious.
Yeah, like someone doing a bad Renaissance fair.
Right,
not like.
Well, it sounds just, like he thinks if he talks like properly that makes him English. Like he doesn't
but
use contractions.
No accent,
and,
it's just the,
that's it. That's what he does. He doesn't use any contractions.
It's like, he's focusing on things like the structure, the words that he's using. He's not focusing on the accent or peppering it with, you know, timely slang or whatever.
Whereas Ron Perlman's totally
just
working.
He's just straight up
it makes it seem all through the movie like Ron Perlman just came in and just played Ron Perlman
in this film
set in the Crusades time. We like jumped off the set of Hellboy and was like, I'm just going to do the same thing. Is that cool?
Let me get the montage of the battles they go to.
Well, at one point it felt like...
And then they have ale at an ale house.
At one point it felt like those two were like not from the same time period. Like they were from the future. Because they weren't acting like anyone else in the movie.
That's true, they weren't.
Yeah. Anyone else in the movies,
they're
in the Crusades.
Well, everyone's accents are everywhere. Even their Crusade commander, his accent sounds like it's sort of like a Brooklyn, New York City borough accent, and everyone's stuff is everywhere. Yeah, so they do this like montage of like them like slaughtering through the Crusades, like sun, snow, sleet. You know, they're
and
going
they're
through
partying
everything.
With wenches in between, like in taverns.
Yeah,
I
mean, just
one quick shot in that.
Just massacring people.
Every now and then, there's like some line like, you know, "Hey, now you owe me one." Like he kills the guy. You know, things like that are happening.
Little witty, like Schwarzenegger-esque, like comments, and then all of a sudden, in the midst of them like just hacking and slashing, Nicolas Cage kills a woman.
Just randomly puts a woman. Were they sacking a village of innocent people?
Yeah, it
what
seems like they
here?
Were doing that, but he didn't know until
they
he
know.
Got in there.
But how did he not know? From that montage,
well, when
they
he
were
see,
killing
when he,
hundreds of people.
That's
when
right.
He, when he stabs that woman, he's like looking down, like he's just killing people looking down. Like, I don't know how he doesn't notice.
Yeah, what's he like?
He's like looking at the ground as he stabs her.
I wanted to know, because after he kills her,
he looks up and
it's this like big revelation to him. And he's freaking out. And it's like, dude, we just saw a montage of you killing hundreds
of
people.
That's why it felt like,
this is,
and the you can murder
now he cares.
Him and
Ron you can murder Roman hundreds
the
of men.
Same
but...
moment at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both shared the same moment. The
after
same
after
time,
5 minutes of them just brutally killing hundreds
kill
and hundreds
didn't
of men.
Did Ron Perlman just kind of agree with him? Or did Ron Perlman also kill an innocent person?
Well, no, I think Ron Perlman just agreed with him. It was like Nick Cage was like, whoa, I just killed a pretty girl. I got to re-examine this whole job. You know what?
I'm going to go with you.
We've been killing
I think
hundreds of people, but none of them were pretty girls.
Well, I think what they're saying, too, was that everything else is on the battlefield. Here they did raid the village, and it was filled with,
I guess, for God.
And
women and children.
I don't know. So they quit. They quit the Crusade army. They're like, we're out of here. They just leave. This is not the kind of killing we signed up for.
And then they're like, you can't leave. And what are you going to do? Try and stop us. And they just kind of turn around and walk out.
Yeah, actually, back then, they would have been like, no, they would have grabbed them.
They would have killed them.
Totally freaking... You know,
they would have killed them, or they would have put them in the stock.
Everybody just clears away.
The guy's looking like, oh, I guess I can't stop.
All the other Crusades people are looking at him.
I guess there's 500 armed men here who can't stop you two D-bags from walking out of camp.
I saw there's like a scene where like two of the other soldiers.
I'm going to shake my fist at you.
They are. When like other two other guys are looking at them like, whoa, that guy looks really intense. I don't want to mess with him. He looks really into it.
They part the way and let him go.
So then we get...
What was with that helmet that he was wearing, Cage was wearing in the shot where he kills the woman and he's just, there's this shot of him making some doofy face, like, oh no, what have I done face?
Oh, wearing like...
But he's got this ridiculous helmet on.
It's like the most ill-fitting helmet.
Like a, like a hollowed out bullet, just like... crookedly shoved.
Well, you know,
tank shell.
When you see hear movies like this, they talk about the hero prop. Like they have props that are good at a distance and props that are good close up.
Close,
this was not a hero helmet.
Clearly, this was not a hero prop.
This was like an extra prop that I feel like Nicolas Cage just walked onto set and was like, "I'm gonna put this on," and no one stopped him.
Yeah, and right. The armor wasn't looking good up close.
Yeah.
It wasn't looking good up close. Actually, it's a stupid thing to nitpick, but I was thinking that in the scene. I was like, okay, we have all this chainmail, but it all looks like plastic. And yeah, I know your actors aren't going to wear real chainmail out in the field, but I've seen better. I don't know.
Oh, I've seen
I'm
better.
I'm being nitpicky,
but
I did. But
it was pretty bad.
It's very accurate. It looks like a plastic helmet.
So then they quit the Crusades. They quit the church. They walk. We're not playing anymore. They walk... it cuts to a month later.
They're like walking on
shore. They come across a farm.
Well, they're riding on a horse, and I wanted to mention this really quick. Did anybody catch the horrible ADR this scene?
There's a lot of it in this movie.
They inserted a line with Ron Perlman and Nicolas Cage on a horse where their mouths aren't moving.
Is it this part or the next part, though?
I think it's this part.
Not what we're talking about. The next part is...
Well, they did it a few times.
Well, what's the line?
I think they did it a few times.
The ADR is not very good all the way through. They straight up do a line where, like, I think they wanted to like hammer home this plot point. So I think either Ron Perlman or Nick Cage has this line where they go, "No one deserves to die like that," talking about the woman they killed. Neither of their mouths are moving. They're just on horses riding along, but they're doing it in conversation. Really bad ADR. I think their plan was probably to try and fix
it. Well, I think that
CGI
comes after this because they come to this house.
Yeah.
This farm, this house. They go in the house.
Yes, and they go in.
They come in the house.
There's no food.
The food is rotten. They go into the bedroom. They're trying to find anyone who lives there. And under the sheets are just two people laying under there.
You're right.
Yeah,
yes.
This is like a guy and woman.
They're covered in sores
and stuff, and they're dead. And
of
course, one of them, the woman,
jump scares.
And I wrote down, because this is like the third time it happens, anytime a woman is unconscious in this movie, it's a jump scare.
That's true. Yeah.
She jumps away in the opening teaser.
And it
happens again, too. But so then they burn down the house because... they realize these people died. They don't know about the plague yet, apparently, but they know it's
something.
They
decide to burn the house down.
Yeah. So they burn the house down, and as they're riding away on the horses, which they took from the farm, they say,
"Oh, that's right.
He says, like, what would you... I can't remember what he said. Something like, what could a person do to deserve to die like that? And Nicolas Cage says nothing or something like that.
Yeah,
but that's what you're talking about.
No mouth moving. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's for a $40 million movie, like, you can spend...
You can
do the CGI to even insert in a very wide shot. Like, you can even fix that. That's not that, you know... Or you could record it on location. I don't know. That's another option.
You could reshoot, or you could wait till the actor's head's turned away from camera and do it.
Yeah.
There's any number of ways. Or you could just, you know, go without the line.
Yeah.
So then they keep riding. And they come across...
They come into a town, and Nicolas Cage is completely worried about getting killed if he and Ron Perlman are recognized in this small town. Now, this is like the 1200s.
Because back then...
So they're wearing cloaks. They obviously don't look like Crusaders. So is he worried that someone's going to recognize his face and be like, oh, it's, you know, whatever the character's name is.
He's so famous.
So he puts this mask on.
Because Ron Perlman's kind of like, hey, whatever.
Ron Perlman doesn't care.
Ron Perlman doesn't do anything.
And he struts around, too. Yeah. So now Nicolas Cage says, we might get recognized as deserters. We don't want to get killed. So let's cover our swords up. Let's cover up our standards.
I think Nicolas Cage was worried someone from the IRS would see him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he covers his face up with this. He wraps something around him, and he starts sneaking around the town. And Ron Perlman's just out and letting it show. He's just, I don't care, I'm Ron Perlman.
I'm convinced Ron Perlman knew from the word go that this was going to be bad, and he's like, I just don't care.
You're supposed to put your mask on and sneak around the town. It's 1200. What did they do? Fax our pictures around all the supermarkets? No, they won't recognize us. I'm not putting on that mask. That's stupid. Nicolas Cage is like, no, I'm getting into character. I got to sneak around with the mask on.
So then somehow, or they get into some kind of fight, somebody sees their sword, someone's like, oh, you guys were deserted crusaders, now you guys are in trouble, now we're going to lock you up. We didn't lock you up when you deserted, but now we're going to lock you up. That we have found you, even though we all watched you walk away,
I do like the swordsmanship of Nicolas Cage in that fight scene, though, when he... Like four or five arrows come at him and just deflects him with a...
Yeah, very Wonder Woman-esque, wasn't it? And that's all I could think of, yeah.
It's like Star Wars.
And they get offered a deal.
No, they're thrown in a jail cell first. Yeah.
They're thrown in a jail.
With a witch. There's a girl over there. It's a witch.
No, after the deal first.
Yeah, they're off the deal first.
I thought they were put in jail and then they were brought up to get the monk guy. The monk guy stops them because he knows they're...
Knights Templar.
Oh, okay, yep.
And he brings up to Christopher Lee, who's got no upper lip, but still has perfect speech.
Of course, it's Christopher Lee.
That scene was about 5 minutes of me going, is that Christopher? That's not Christopher. Is that Christopher? No, that can't be Christopher Lee. I took out my phone, I looked up like, that's not Christopher, that can't be Christopher Lee.
Instantaneously when I heard that voice.
Why would you cast Christopher Lee in this part that actually looks like it's played by a prosthetic dummy?
Right. He's wearing makeup to make it look like his face is swollen so much you could barely see him.
Yeah.
And as Andy so correctly pointed out, he has no upper lip. He still has the Christopher Lee voice that's perfect and eerie and powerful. What's with this? He's projecting here, and his speech is perfect.
Yeah.
And he's pronouncing everything perfectly, yet he doesn't have an upper lip, and he's supposed to be sick, and he's like, Now, I'm not knocking Christopher Lee. I love Christopher Lee, but it just did seem weird. We can get Christopher Lee. Let's put him in this movie. Yeah. I was pleased, but at the same time,
Yeah.
He's the bishop or something.
Well, yeah, but they refuse to help him.
He wants them to, you know, quick summary of, like, the basic, like, you know, gist of this plot. They want them to take this suspected witch to some other, you know, abbey and transport her there because they think it's a dangerous job. And Nicolas Cage is like, no, I've given up on the church. And he refuses the job.
Right.
So then they go downstairs. I'm going to kind of jump ahead and cover myself.
This
gets pretty boring. They go downstairs. They meet this suspected witch.
They're put in the dungeon. She seems innocent enough.
She seems nice enough. She's kind of cute. So then Nicolas Cage is like, all right, I'll do it. But only if she gets a fair trial.
In his authentic British accent.
I'm like, what? All right. And meanwhile, Ron Perlman's like, whatever.
I don't care where he goes.
Yeah, Ron Perlman's like, am I still getting paid. Okay, I'm still getting paid.
This week, right?
Okay. Yeah, all right, I'm in. And so they start assembling a miscellaneous, like an Armageddon style crew of like.
Well, they do the whole thing. It's a typical thing where it's like, okay, you know, you can't just have guys ready to go. It's like they got to find the guide, and he's a smart ass who's locked up in, well, you know.
Right, they find this like con man who supposedly knows how to get.
Yeah, it's like I smell comic relief.
He's again doing
coming.
Like a Brooklyn accent.
We need a guide, and it's this guy like in the stocks, you know. And
it
he's
was
like
all those typical things. Like,
and then they bring this other knight, who's just apparently comes along because he's bored.
Yeah,
it's
just
the altar boy, or
no.
There's another guy. There's like
the other older guy.
I can't remember two priests.
No, he's not a priest. The other the guy.
There's a priest.
Eckert or whatever.
The priest goes because he has to see it through.
Yeah.
The Ron Perlman.
Oh, okay. I thought he was
Ron Perlman
priest.
Goes
right.
because
yeah.
why
yeah.
the hell not?
No, he said he's head of security or something.
I think he's just bored.
There's another guy. Yeah,
he's
a German guy.
I think he said he agreed to go along.
As soon as I saw him, I'm like, they might as well put a red shirt on that guy.
we're beefing up the sortie band.
He has no clear point on this. And Well, we'll just put the old bullseye on his tunic. You know, I don't think he'll be in it for long. And then they, you know, again, yeah, I'm skipping a,
they
well.
They take off, and then, of course, it's, somebody's following them, and there's another character added to it.
Yeah, this young kid who's like, I want to prove myself as a knight. I'm coming with you. To which point, some of the people are like, why? What? Why do you even want
to? He's like, yeah, he's just an altar boy.
He's an altar boy who wants to be a knight, so he thinks that by traveling with knights, he will all of a sudden become a knight. Like, it just rubs off on you. I mean, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the concept of, like, in olden days, the knights would have a page or a squire who would, like, be their apprentice, and they would learn how to fight, but he's clearly not this. No. So he's just kind of like, it's kind of like you're not doing it right.
It was just
you're
not, failing at squire. It's your typical characters in every movie like this.
It is. He's kind of like the stereotypical.
But this is where one of the bad CG moments happen, a green screen moment.
Oh, I know what you're, go ahead. I know you're, yes, yes.
And the background's moving like smooth, like it's on a dolly.
Yes, they are. It's so, it's like, I honestly thought you could tell they're riding in place.
They're so distracted.
You could tell, it's like a 1950s movie when someone's driving in a car and the background is moving, but the car isn't.
Right, it was so bad.
Oh, man, that was terrible.
The background was smooth, like a dolly.
Yes.
It was really smooth. It wasn't
exactly.
It was like this smooth shot, and they're kind of like, going up and down like you're on a horse, you're like, wait a minute,
it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. That must have been added later.
Yeah, it was very distracting.
Well, and
again,
point,
why didn't they shoot that on location?
Why not? Well,
because there were some beautiful locations in this film.
Movie alternates between looking crazy cheap, and then there'll be like a location where you're like, oh wow, or like a shot where you're like, oh well, wow,
like
okay,
that's not a back lot, that's
great,
not a blue
shot.
Screen.
Yeah. Just butted right up against each other.
Like they didn't care.
And then, so they're bringing the girl with them in the... She's in a cage. This, like, circus-style cage.
It's literally like a cart with bars.
Like a circus wagon,
comes
right?
To the witch.
Yeah, it really is. Like, it's a totally open wagon with cage bars on it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I guess we can jump ahead.
The movie basically goes through now what I like to call, like, just, like, scenes. Like, they stop and something happens, and they move. Then they stop and something else happens, and they move. Then they stop and something else happens, and they move again.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, we're just plotting along.
It was very, I don't want to say boring, but just flat.
No, it was pretty boring.
It was pretty boring. It was kind of like...
And the bulk of the film is the journey. The journey is the film.
It's the film. And nothing...
And the journey didn't feel that long, either.
Which really is.
No, it didn't. It was like a night.
But really, the journey really wasn't the story, though. It wasn't like... bonding on the journey.
Well, exactly. But
the journey
wasn't
the whole
story.
They're clearly trying to do... let's talk about this now. There's no story. They're trying to build up...
There's no story between when they leave the town and they get to the next town. There's no story.
No story. Like, characters barely even talk. Like, things happen that are, like, totally boring.
People die,
like, the girl gets out of the cage. She runs around for a while. She tricks the older knight into...
Well, here's where it gets confusing. So they stop. Yeah. She manages to escape. Oh my God, she's gone. She's because they have a debate as to who's going to guard her. Yeah. The one guy is afraid of her, and the little boy, the altar boy's not a little boy. He's probably like 17. The altar boy's like, I'll watch her because he's trying to impress everybody. The German guy's like, no, rest, boy, I'll do it. And something happens where he's talking to the priest, and she manages to escape. They chase her into a nearby town. He runs around the corner, thinks he sees her, and then the altar boy stabs.
But she's...
And then all of a sudden he stabbed the German guy.
But they also make it clear that the witch is fooling...
He thinks he's... The German guy thinks he's following his daughter.
He thinks he sees his dead daughter.
Oh my God, is that my daughter Elizabeth or whatever? He follows her around the corner, he sees her, and then he gets stabbed, and it's because the altar boy thought he saw the witch.
Right, right.
So now he's dead.
No, we're left to think, right?
Well, it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Do I have the details right there?
Well, I don't know. I was confused.
He just ran into the altar boy's sword.
He turned the corner and ran on the sword. The witch was tricking him
into thinking it's his daughter. So she's playing with his mind and he runs into his sword. She wanted him dispensed of
because he was going to convince them not to take her.
Right. So then we get into a whole scene where then the rest of the team is trying to find her in this town, which consists of our cast just standing in the middle of the town. Like, not moving.
That was a town.
And then they're like, there she is! Right there!
Were you about to Are you whether it was a town or a village or a hamlet?
No. Right. I can remember. I just watched this morning.
Esquire.
Town. I just remember seeing.
No, yeah, it was like a town square. Yeah, he said, yeah. She's in the town square.
They're like, so you're saying, there she is.
She's no, in the square.
No, it's not her. No, there she actually is.
It was another random girl. There was like a fake scare that lasted like 2 seconds. Like, there she is. No, that's not her. There she is. Okay.
And then, so then they just catch her back. I mean, again, nothing other than just killing this guy who clearly was just brought along.
Accidentally fodder, killed because he thought a guy's sword was his daughter or something.
Okay, just moving along. Now we put her back in the circus wagon. Movie continues.
Next scene.
So now they start to, I thought, I don't know if anybody else picked up on this. I'm sure you did. I thought at this point they were trying to make the priest look suspicious.
Yes.
Because he was saying something like, watch what you say because the knight was talking about his daughter around the witch, and then he thought he saw his daughter, and that's why he died. But he also told the priest about his daughter, and the priest was acting a little weird, and the girl was kind of acting sobby and please help me. So I was thinking, maybe the priest is the witch and the girl is innocent.
Here's my biggest problem with this movie, and Andy and I talked this a little off camera, or off the take,
off my
camera. Yeah, our imaginary camera that's recording this.
This is off the record.
Which is the movie is trying to make you be like, is she or isn't she a witch? And it's trying to do that. But
halfway through, they give up on
it. It's not trying to do that, though, really.
Here's what happens.
Here's the argument. They're not trying to do that. We know it's something because we saw the beginning of the movie. That's where the beginning of the movie comes in.
Right.
So we know there's a witch. So we do know that. So we're privy to that information, but the other characters aren't. So you're kind of watching... You're kind of watching them react to it.
Because when I watched it...
We know it's a witch.
I disagree.
I think the movie is trying to make you, like, with the characters in the movie, be like, is she a witch? But then you see her doing witch things
all of a sudden, like
all
at first.
The time.
Yeah. At first, she's not a witch. At first, she's not a witch at all. She's just an innocent girl in a cage. Weird things happen, but it could have been her. It may not have been her. The priest character is a little bit sinister. Then all of a sudden, the priest character is now sympathetic. The girl is not only a little meaner, but now she's obviously a witch, obviously making things set on fire and things like that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Obviously, so it's like they hit the bridge. Then it's like,
well, that's
when when they hit the bridge, that's when they really they give up on it.
That's when all of a sudden.
But even through that, so what I'm saying is, Nicolas Cage is watching her set things on fire, be superhumanly strong, trick the other guy into getting killed by a sword, and meanwhile, Nicolas Cage is like, I don't know.
Calls. She needs a fair trial.
I don't know. I'm just not sure. You know, like he's not sure. What are you not sure about? What else did this girl have to do to show you that she's a witch? She's...
I don't know. I don't think she did anything up to that point to be like, really, I'm a witch.
Showing that she's...
We know that, but how would the character
Nicolas Cage watched her put out his torch while she looked at it. And Nicolas Cage watched her be superhumanly strong.
She's throwing grown men around.
He said, she's very strong.
She's very strong.
She threw Ron Perlman like 18
strong.
Feet.
I don't know.
She's like an 18-year-old girl. She's like a buck 10.
But here's what it was frustrating to me. There might be an interesting movie concept in that, is she a witch or isn't she? That might have been an interesting movie if you actually wondered if she was a witch or isn't. But then you're like, oh,
you're pretty sure.
She, obviously something going on here, you know. So there's really no is she or isn't she.
So then, is this the bridge now? Do they come across?
Yeah.
The bridge is the second. We'll call the bridge the second challenge.
No purpose
for
this, but there's no purpose again.
There's a stereotypical: should we cross it? Should we not cross it? Wood and rope bridge across a chasm that they have to cross.
Yeah. That was like five seconds though. They come across it and they're like, I don't know if we should cross it.
Nicolas Cage is like, we're
Ron Perlman's like, I don't know, and then he looks over, Nicolas Cage walking across the bridge with the horse. So it's like, okay. Yeah.
I guess we're crossing.
Well, then, and you just kind of know as soon as this scene starts, you're like, well, everyone's going to make it across the bridge.
Well,
and just as they get across the bridge,
snaps.
The rope is going to snap.
And this is where the woman and the girl in the cage grabs the...
The teenage boy, the altar boy,
by the arm, by one arm, and picks him up and sets him down.
By the way, he never goes there and says, well, listen... She just saved me. She had one arm.
Well, no, she
does.
He does because Nicolas Cage knows about this.
He says it later on.
He talks with her.
Yeah, when he's talking to her in the woods, he says,
"I saw you lift him."
Well, no, he says, "What's his name? I can't remember. Oh, it was Kai. Kai told me that you saved his life."
Oh, you know what? I forgot because I watched it.
You watched it literally like 2 hours ago.
But you know what? Once they got off the bridge, I fast forward because I'm like, I know nothing happens.
Okay. Oh,
so I went to you. So I want to get
you.
Just
you're not
wolf.
A purist.
You just got.
No, I forgot he said.
You just
he
got
saw.
5 penalty points. Okay.
I forgot he said he saw, but they didn't.
Yeah. By the way, we're
they
taking.
They didn't shoot in a way that you knew he saw. They should have had a shot where he's like, okay, Nicolas Cage saw that.
I don't. Well, yeah, it was.
You can't just all of a sudden be like, I saw that. Did you? Because you were on the other side of the bridge.
No, he didn't see
it,
though.
He didn't see it. He had to tell
no, Kai,
yeah, why,
Kai
again,
told him that.
It would have been a lot of simple.
Right,
no, Kai, he said to the witch,
the kid,
Kai told me he saved his life.
Literally, later
bridge.
On, it's okay. True. Later on, he says, So what's going on here? I saw you lift that boy with one
arm. Just,
he Kai
or,
told
or no,
me
Kai.
His life.
Yeah. Kai said.
The kid told Nicolas Cage, it would have been a smoother movie if everyone else had just seen it.
Right.
Why is the movie like this? Why
so
couldn't
anyway,
it just be straightforward?
It is. He's Nicolas Cage says Kai told me that you saved his life on the bridge. Anyways,
Sorry to go off that route there.
There you go.
Bringing it on back.
God, he misses 8 podcasts, and that's what.
Yeah,
you get.
we went more off track on.
He doesn't watch the movies.
Yeah. So they get across the bridge, and then in a just really arguably the stupidest scene in the movie and cheapest looking scene in the movie, they get attacked by a bunch of CGI wolves.
They're arguing, right? They stop, they're arguing, they...
No,
something happens.
Everyone's sleeping, the guide gets up and he takes the crossbow.
Oh, he's gonna kill it with the crossbow, that's right.
He's gonna kill the witch, but Nicolas Cage is awake and sees him and stops him.
Stops him, yep.
Yeah.
And they start talking and the witch... Here's that
makes
he's
a howling
kill him.
Noise.
So she starts howling, so the wolves will come and kill the guy who's just trying to kill her.
Right.
And here's
what's weird about
like
the wolves, though,
obvious.
Were they looked good, but then all of a sudden
they turned into the demon wolves.
And they looked really bad.
Terrible.
The wolves look fine, but once they like growled and turned into like the demon wolves, it was like really bad.
Why not just have them be regular wolves?
It would have been
That's fine.
Yeah, would have been fine. Yeah.
So then they start killing the wolves, and that's
Well, they kill the first wave of wolves. They just slash him down with the swords or whatever. Then another wave comes and they decide to run because they can't defeat all the wolves. And as they're running away, one of the wolves jumps and kills the guide.
The Swindler guy.
They knocks him off his horse and a bunch of wolves gather around and they kill him. And that's it. Because obviously they were just trying to kill the one guy.
So again,
you find out later
like,
why. But
yeah, we brought a bunch of people along with us on this journey for no purpose other than to be killed. You know, I mean, it's like bringing extra shields for your ship. You know, we're just going to put them on the outside so they can be shot first.
Yeah.
So at this point, Nicolas Cage is upset that he got someone else killed, or that someone else died. And so he decides that he's going to kill the witch now. So he grabs a crossbow. This is like the next morning, because it worked so well for the Swindler. So he grabs a crossbow and he's just going to kill her. But the priest stops him. And he's
And Ron Perlman stops him.
Well, the priest tries to stop him first. This is one of my favorite lines coming up, too, but... The priest tries to stop him. He's like, get out of my way or I'm going to shoot you too. And he finally he's feeling all this guilt from killing this woman in the beginning of the movie. And so he's sick of seeing people die or whatever. So he's trying to kill the witch. He pushes the priest out of the way, turns back around, Ron Perlman's standing in his way.
Yes.
And Ron Perlman says...
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, this is my favorite thing because Ron Perlman says, the end is in sight. I thought he was going to go on this speech about how the end is in sight, we're almost there, the journey's almost over, but he just goes...
That's all he says.
He just points, he goes, look, Sevarak.
It's very
literally.
It's like,
the end is
right there.
In sight.
As I was watching this scene, this was my... I was like reading into the subcontext of
so
it.
Was
my vision was Nicolas Cage being like, man, get me out of this crazy movie, I'm going to kill her and it'll be the end. And Ron Perlman being like, no way, man, we got like 2 more weeks of paychecks. Like, you're not ending this movie now. I got a lot more money coming out of this. Yeah.
It's just funny because he literally, it's like just down the road too, he's like, look.
It's right there.
Like, you didn't see that, Nicolas Cage?
Literally, the end is in sight. You know what? You're right, I shouldn't be doing this. No, literally, I mean, the end, it's right there. I see it.
And they go to this town, this Sevarak town. This is a great, I mean, this is. I'm sure this is a practical location. And look,
Sevarak, that's in what, southern Wales or something?
Oh, God, who knows. This movie sort of is like...
Sevarak.
Well, it's very vague as to like...
I think it's a Middle Earth, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's an Antioch.
They're just sort of like Eastern Europe. Like, they never really explain.
Maybe it's
where
New York City because of Ron Perlman's accent. I don't know.
That's, yeah.
Well, this is medieval America, actually.
Yeah. The American Crusades. But this castle looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Another event. I mean, another moment in the film where you're like, oh, wow, that looks kind of cool.
Yeah. And they get into this. It's a city of or a castle of monks.
But that's all that lived there. Yeah, it's like a massive monastery of monks.
They held the last book that has the
last book of Solomon.
Yeah.
But but all the monks are dead. They're all like collapsed on top of the books.
Yeah, they find out they got the.
And they find out the monks are trying to
They're trying to make copy copies it. They're scribes.
They're human copy machines.
Right. Basically, they're scribes. Yeah. Exactly.
And of course, they all had gotten the plague and they died.
Yeah.
So then. The priest, I can't remember, it was like De Balzac or something was his name.
I was going to say, that's what I'm bringing up, because that's what I noticed.
That's his name. His name is De Balzac.
That's what I was going to bring that up.
That's your
I heard it was going over the castle. Yeah. Also, I was like, is he
they call him Balzac?
De Balzac.
Yeah.
So he finds the book, and they go back down the cage, and which is outside in the courtyard. And he starts reading this incantation, trying to kill the witch, or trying to exorcise the witch.
Well, basically, they say, but, what's the point? All the monks are dead. We're going to have our own trial. And they all go around her, and he breaks out the book, and he starts reading the incantation. The girl starts doing a bunch of crazy things, and the priest says, oh, wait.
Because they're doing this thing, and it's not really affecting her. She's like, she's making the horse go crazy, whatever. And then she starts, like, burning the cage or whatever. Yes. Like, she's trying to escape. And then he realizes, he goes, oh, wait,
she's
no witch.
She's not a witch.
So he flips to the back of the book.
Demon exorcism
to
chapter.
Incantation. And he starts reading that. And that's when she starts really going crazy. And she, like, transforms into the...
And then she
burns the cage.
She grows wings.
And then she, like, flies out of the cage.
Yeah, but in your typical Hollywood moment, he's doing the incantation to stop her. And as she starts changing, he stops saying the words.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do they always do that in movies?
Yeah.
Why do you stop?
I'd probably be pretty speechless though if I saw
this. You
think
so? I mean, I'd be like, oh, I better finish this now because the bitch has changed.
Did you see that? Yeah. Did you see that amazing CGI of the cage melting? I mean, it was pretty impressive.
Oh yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
And she was still holding the bars as they were melting.
And then came the best line of the movie. I don't know if y'all caught that one.
Y'all.
If y'all caught that one, the priest, the witch or the demon flies away, and the priest says, we're going to need more holy.
Yes!
Oh, God.
I remember that. I laughed when I heard that. We're going to need more holy. Now, all of a sudden, the movie is literally now all of our knights and warriors who were traveling to get this girl who could have been a witch and may not have been a witch to this town where she was going to be tried for her life. And Nicolas Cage has this chance for redemption to try to save an innocent because he killed an innocent. Now it's just a supernatural thriller about an exorcism.
Well, it's Van Helsing.
Can somebody explain something to me? Or go ahead, Andy, you go ahead first.
That's a good mix right there. Here's what they did again. Plot hole. And she gets there.
Well,
now, the whole thing is she wanted to get there.
Yeah,
she's
I realized it's this morning.
Why not just kill them all right then?
Or
she's throwing Ron Perlman, everybody's getting tossed around. Why not kill him? You're where you wanted to be.
Or I don't know why they needed the demon needed them to bring her to Severin.
Because she's
got wings.
Why could she just fly there?
Like she need them to get the book, but I'm like, why did she use? Because then it goes back and explains that the demon killed those. Like the other guys killed the journey because they were going to kill her and not bring her to Severin.
Right.
Why did she need them as a taxi service?
She has wings. She's a demon.
Some reason she needed them to bring.
Why was she in a prison cell?
She needed to go to Severin to destroy the books.
Why didn't
she just no longer any words that could kill her?
Yeah, I don't. That really doesn't hold together.
Because obviously the words didn't kill her at the beginning of the movie. I guess.
What's that?
The whole plot.
Now was that the same demon at the beginning of the movie or not?
Yeah.
Must have been.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
It had to be.
Okay. Oh, I hope so, because otherwise that scene has no connection.
That's
the
only
because
I thought about it afterwards. Yeah. I'm like, okay, because the demon says at one point that
it
destroyed all the other books, and this was the last book.
Yeah.
And you see it in the beginning destroying the books.
So the demon had to get a gigantic taxi ride to this castle to destroy a book, who then goes on a crazy rampage through this castle and like reanimates like the corpses of
like
these monks.
Cool
zombie
thing.
Monks.
Well, there's all
I thought that was cool. I
hated it.
I thought it was so stupid.
With the plague.
It felt like House of the Dead.
Fighting zombie monks.
Yeah. Yeah. And the CGI, there are no words to describe how
I
bad
love,
the CGI
let me,
looks.
Let me just say,
demon.
I love the scene where Nicolas Cage is wrestling with it, and it's like stabbing him in the back, and he's like, "Finish it!" And he's like holding the thing down. I mean, that was awful.
And my question too was, apparently, like only the priest and the altar boy could read this incantation because they're involved with the church, I guess.
Right.
Evidently, no one else could read
so
it.
So he kills the priest.
Yeah.
And so it's the altar boy who's reading this incantation.
Yeah.
Why did the demon save the altar boy on the bridge if it was one of the two people who could kill the demon? I mean, like, I don't understand.
That's a great...
Well, why,
I mean,
why are the...
Who knows? Honestly, who knows?
It was one of the two people who could read this incantation.
Why would the demon bring people with her to Sycorax in the first place?
Right. Or, like I said, it would just kill him when he got there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Why not?
Because the priest has been reading this incantation for, like, half an hour.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
and the demon finally kills him, and that's when the altar boy picks up and starts reading it. And meanwhile, like, Ron Perlman is, like, fighting the thing.
Ron
and
Perlman gets a death hug from a PS2
PS1
PS1 demon, which just hugs him to death. Like, is that an accurate way to describe Ron Perlman's death?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, that
was a death hug.
The demon, too, the whole time is, like, talking to him, like, holding a conversation with him. And he's got, like, this ridiculous, like, deep voice. I'm a demon. Too, yeah. But he's, like, it's not, like, some evil, like, it's just like, I need this book, and I'm going to burn this book up. Normal conversation they're having with this big winged demon.
Demon is flying around. So the kid, the altar boy, keeps reading, and Nick Cage, like, holds the demon down.
He's holding the demon down, and it keeps, like, stabbing him with the spikes on its back or something. On its hands. It's got, like, claws.
And Nick Cage basically is like, hey, smarty, keep reading. And then the demon leaves. And it leaves, and left behind is the girl,
naked and slimy.
The naked, slimy, young girl is now, she's been exorcised.
And she doesn't remember any of it.
She doesn't remember anything.
Nick Cage looks, and he saved the young girl.
Yeah.
So he smiles.
And it's a very Saving Private Ryan moment, too.
Yes.
Yeah. When he's dying, and Kai asks, like, oh, what do we do now? And he says something like,
live.
Protect her. Keep her safe.
Yeah.
It's very, earn this, you know.
Whereas you were almost sort of, again, I would have given this more credit. Nicolas Cage's character was like, drink a ton of mead, you know, join the Vikings. I don't know, you know.
Now we forgot.
Like, what do I care?
We forgot to mention earlier that Nicolas Cage knighted the page.
Oh,
can
that's
knights,
true.
Knight, I know this has been done in movies
get
before.
Down, get down on your knees,
I don't
Kai.
Think they can.
I don't
It's been
that,
done
yeah.
in movies before. I know it. It
that's what I was saying the whole time. Like, can a knight make another guy? Another?
Knights
like, isn't
cannot
like,
do that. That's not how
that
it works.
That was very shaky. That was sort of like movie logic. I don't know. Yeah.
Again, that's nitpicking, like the armor earlier, but still.
So the demon is exorcised, and this not only exorcises the demon, but apparently this is how the bubonic plague was cured. I didn't know that. Did anyone else?
There's a nice little monologue at the end. Plague never affected our lands again, or something like that.
Marie Curie,
find this movie, they'll know the truth.
Yeah, Marie Curie, all the people came up with antibiotics, forget them.
At the end, because they made it sound like... Yeah, it was very disrespectful to all those.
Yeah, forget
But at the end,
they did nothing.
I also expected them that, like, at the end, like, based on a true story. It's like they're trying to say, like, this is why the plague really ended.
If you're a Christian Scientist, this is like your vision of, like, medical care. You know, medicine didn't do anything. A knight exorcising a demon saved us from being ill. Yeah, next time I get a cold, I gotta be like, God, can someone go exorcise that demon
somewhere?
God, this cough has been with me for like 3 days. Jeez. Now, a couple of things. This isn't a full blown So Wrong It's Right. This movie had a crazy post-production period, and two major sequences were added in post-production. The original ending did not have the CGI demon. It's just the girl, and they're...
In makeup.
And
it's actually, it's more effective.
It's a far, it's Jack and I saw a far superior ending. I mean, clearly, I'm just guessing. They felt like they had to have another action sequence, or they needed something more like... But it ends up being stupider. There's another entire sequence in this movie that was shot in post-production. Does anyone want to take a guess at what this was?
In the movie right now?
In the movie now. There's a sequence that was not in the original film that they went back and felt they had to add in.
I'm going to say it's the opening scene.
Opening scene with the witches.
I was going to say that, but that makes sense to me. Well, I guess if the...
You're all going to be very surprised.
I'm going to say, jeez.
Oh, of course, it's the scene where they're both on the horses, and it's obvious
maybe,
in the background.
Maybe.
It's not even like a shot. Like, it's a full-blown sequence.
I'm
going to
say the whole Christopher Lee sequence.
Okay, Christopher Lee sequence.
If I had to guess, maybe the one with the farmhouse, where they burned the farmhouse down.
Okay.
That seemed disconnected from everything else.
Yeah, it wasn't really important just, to the movie.
That was only to introduce the play.
All three of those would make sense. Get ready for the second week in a row for us to blow your mind with post-production.
Oh, no.
The sequence that was shot and added later in the film was the Crusades. This is a movie about the Crusades. All of the stuff of them hacking their way through the Crusades was shot months later when they're like, oh boy, we really need to get the Crusades in this Crusades movie. I am not kidding.
That's the only part of the movie that had to be there.
True story. That was all shot months later.
The director forget? Oh crap, we didn't shoot
it. And Dominic Sena, the director of this, wasn't even on the film anymore. They brought in like Vic Armstrong, who if you know him is like the legendary like swordsman guy in Hollywood. He came in and second unit directed all of that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, so crazy.
So how'd they explain all this stuff in the beginning then?
I have no idea.
Because the whole movie is based on that. I'm trying to
imagine this movie without the Crusades in it.
Without him killing an innocent girl. That means that's the plot, that's the character.
No, I think that was in. The stuff of them hacking their way. Like the whole long montage. Like I think the movie just started with Nick Cage killing a girl, and everyone why is this
black screen open stab?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just assuming that everyone's
leaving the Crusade scene. Was that in the original movie? Because that had the same.
That looks like
it was shot on the same day as the montage.
I think that when the montage, all that montage stuff is done green screen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Well,
let's
talk about how bad that is.
Craziness. Just, total insanity. So let's go to our So Wrong It's Right question of, if you were pitching this script and you were trying to say, you know, this is a lot like Sleepy Hollow meets When Harry Met Sally.
That was mine.
Oh, sorry. Everyone, yeah. What movies would you pitch this as? Who wants to take a swing at this first? Any takers?
I think it's like Excalibur meets The Exorcist.
I was gonna.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
I was gonna say Van Helsing versus meets The Exorcist.
That's the thing. Your Van Helsing reference was one that I want to steal now.
I like. I just Van stole Helsing his Exorcist. Meets The Exorcist. But since he says that,
Excalibur meets The Exorcist. I don't know.
I was thinking Van Helsing meets the other crappy Wicker Man.
Oh, the Wicker
Man. The
plan
is so elaborate in this to get this.
Oh, that's true. To burn this book.
Yeah.
To burn this book. It's like so elaborate that a witch or demon would be like, I'm going to start a plague.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to stagger around town as a girl, and they'll think that I'm the witch that started the plague. Then I'm going to have a group of, for some reason, a band of people have to bring me to where the book is.
Yeah.
And then I'll burn the book.
Despite possessing the means by which
fly.
This is
another Nick Cage wildly elaborate plan.
Maybe it's his contract. Maybe it's like a conspiracy clause where he has to have some complex conspiracy tied in with his
character.
That's
true. I was going to say they're all winners. I had The Exorcist in mind, too. I had it as Magnificent Seven meets The Exorcist meets Lord of the Rings meets Outbreak.
Meets Outbreak. There you go.
I was going to throw Lord of the Rings in there, too.
Yeah, it's got...
You didn't say we could have more than two. No, I'm kidding.
That's true.
I cheated.
No, it's fine. The next... Okay, so now our next one. This is... we love to do this. This is the Loved It segment where we read real reviews from IMDb from people who loved this movie. This is... Boy, this is... Oh boy, these are two very complicated reviews. As always, I'm going to do my best to maintain the original punctuation in the review as it was written on IMDb and get you guys responses from this. First one is from, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Stelio Spada from Greece. And this is a segment of their review. Upon watching the trailer for this movie, I was intrigued, yet I did not expect to see the masterpiece I just saw. I've watched other movies starring Nicolas Cage, which comment on the supernatural, but I think this is the best one. Suffice to say that Nicolas Cage won my otherwise wavering respect for him until now, solely based on movies he has starred in. Not only was he very convincing in a difficult part to play, but he also delivered more emotion than I've probably ever seen by him.
There was no emotion.
There was really no emotion.
One scene where he got emotional.
I was going to say, you need to see... Yeah, Stelios Spada, you need to see more Nick Cage movies, because this is a very...
He never cried, he never laughed. He actually downplayed this one. For Nick Cage, yeah. This is actually
this
below.
This is very...
The only
like,
time he
like,
took was a, when he had the crossbow and he wanted to kill her.
He was like drinking NyQuil on the set, so he'd just be like, yeah, man.
This is like as far as you can get from like leaving Las Vegas Cage or Wicker Man Cage or like, this is a very down... Like,
Deadfall Cage.
Yeah, this is sober, like quiet Cage, and this is one of my favorite reviews we've ever done in the Loved It segment, from Lanoche V Britannia. That's their IMDb username, and this is just a segment. I could not read the whole review because it would take up the entire. Like, this is one of the longer IMDb reviews I've ever seen. But here's the segment: make up your own minds, people. Don't let others spoil what would otherwise have been a great experience for you. My official, unprofessional opinion. My official, unprofessional opinion. I wish I'd seen this in theaters. This was quite possibly the best movie I've seen this 2011 year.
As opposed to any other 2011 year.
I don't know if he's
Well,
lived.
Last 2011 was...
This is the best 2011 ever.
Does that imply he's lived through another 2011?
Well, you know what? Last 2011 wasn't a good year for movies. The 2011 before was.
Is that all right?
No, he's got a great... So he said, this is quite possibly the best movie I've seen this 2011 year, but Transformers comes out in 2 days, so we'll see.
Wow, this guy is a huge cinephile.
He's then commenting on Season of the Witch's overall user score, which is 5.7. He says, to give Season of the Witch a 5.7, pompous, grandiloquent, pretentious, superficial, maybe even pathetic.
I think that's my review for the movie, actually.
Yeah.
That's perfect right there, spot on. Let's end
saying,
it there.
He's saying that the reviewers who gave it a 5.7, nothing is true. Not even this review. Not for you.
This got really...
Now things are really about to go off the rails. Not for you. Make up your own mind. F the ratings. I'm never coming here again. Good day. IMDb review ever. It's amazing.
Oh my god.
That must have been the director.
That's the best movie we've done yet.
Movie.
You're talking about a big finish. Like, he nailed it. Oh. So that is Season of the Witch.
Wow.
This is kicking off a long stretch of horror movies. We are going to try and be all horror. In the next couple weeks, straight up
horrible movies.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Horrible.
It's the second time someone's used that joke on this one.
Have we done it before?
Was it me before too?
Mueller. I think Mueller used it before.
Oh,
may have.
Damn.
Do we have any stop the movie moments?
Oh, we can do some. Well, I don't know. Oh my god.
My stop the movie moment was when she turned into a demon. I'm sorry to interrupt. But
that's
I
a
had
fair
to
one.
Put it out there.
Yeah.
Mine was the American accent when they started talking.
Well, I was saying right at the beginning, when the dialogue in the beginning, I was just kind of like, wow, I don't know. Can I continue on? And then by the time I got to the bridge, I was like,
wait,
like,
what's
totally
the point
bored.
When you started fast forwarding it? Because that's the
that
real...
That was after the bridge.
Okay,
after
so
bridge,
so really like, the bridge scene was the stop there. Because if you started fast forwarding,
can I,
I'd say
can
that's
I just
the
point
end.
Out? Can I just point out the irony that the bridge scene is the bridge between the first half and the second half of the movie?
It is.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
an
error.
Sorry. What was yours, Alex?
For me, honestly, it might have been that. I think it was actually when Nick Cage comes back up and he's like, all right, I'll take the job, but only if she gets a fair trial. I was like, what was it, a buddy cop movie? Like, it's just, again, it's like Sucker Punch. Like, 20 genres are like poured into a blender and come out looking like a disgusting smoothie.
Yeah.
So we'll be coming up. We've got more horror movies, more films coming up. Please, if you get a chance, like our Facebook page, Stop the Movie I Want to Get Out. We're on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, @ Wind Up Films, and Jack Estabrook
at
Live
Jack Estabrook.
Tweets Movie.
That's right.
At Jack Estabrook. Well worth following. And if you get a chance, we really appreciate the positive reviews people have left for us on iTunes. If you get a second, if you like the show, please leave us a positive review.
Who's the guy
iTunes.
Who wrote that review on IMDb? I invite him to write a review
guy,
for us.
Oh, that guy, please. Oh, if the Loach V Britannia could write a review for us on iTunes, I would love it. We would dedicate
done with
a
iTunes.
Show to him. Yeah, I would. That would be amazing.
I'm leaving iTunes. You do not like the review.
Incredible. So that is it. That is it for this week. We'll be back with Horrible October. Bye.
Fantastic.